Okay, we're starting a new chapter today. Chapter 13. Sixth Canto, chapter 13. We'll probably do two verses today. There's this little kind of chapter summary, which I think we usually read, so we'll read that. Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dhati Swapadhantikam Pancha Kalpatarupyascha Kripa Sindhupya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Chapter 13, King Indra, Afflicted by Sinful Reaction. This chapter describes Indra's fear at having killed a brahmana, Vritrasura, and it also describes how he fled and was saved by the grace of Lord Vishnu. When all the demigods requested Indra to kill Vritrasura, he refused because Vritrasura was a brahmana. The demigods, however, encouraged Indra not to fear killing him because Indra was protected by the Narayana Kavacha, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, Lord Narayana. Even by a glimpse of the chanting of Narayana's name, one becomes free from all sinful reactions of killing a woman, a cow, or a brahmana. The demigods advised Indra to perform an Ashvamedha sacrifice by which Narayana would be pleased, for the performer of such a sacrifice is not implicated in sinful reactions, even if he kills the entire universe. Following this instruction from the demigods, King Indra fought Vritrasura, but when Vritrasura was killed, everyone was satisfied but King Indra, who knew Vritrasura's position. This is the nature of a great personality. Even if a great personality acquires some opulence, he is always ashamed and regretful if he acquires it illegally. Indra could understand that he was certainly entangled by sinful reactions for killing a brahmana. Indeed, he could see sinful reaction personified following him, and thus he fled here and there in fear, thinking of how to rid himself of his sins. He went to Manasa Sarovara, and there under the protection of the goddess of fortune, he meditated for 1,000 years. During this time, Nahusha reigned over the heavenly planets as the representative of Indra. Unfortunately, however, he was attracted by the beauty of Indra's wife, Shachidevi, and because of his sinful desire, he had to accept the body of a serpent in his next life. Indra later performed a great sacrifice with the help of exalted brahmanas and saints. In this way, he was released from the reactions of his sinful killing of a brahmana. So, I guess it's on the board, so I'll just read one and then I'll do two together. Shri Shuku Vacha Ritre Hate Trayoloka Vina Shakrena Burida Sapala Ya Bhavan Sadyo Vidvara Nirvatendriya. Shri Shukadeva Goswami said, O King Parikshit, O King Parikshit, who are so charitably disposed, when Vritrasura was killed, all the presiding deities and everyone else in the three planetary systems was immediately pleased and free from trouble. Everyone, that is, except Indra. We'll read text 2 together. Devarishi Pitributani. Daitya Devanura Anu Devanu Gaspayam. Prati Jagmu Swadishnani. Brahmeshendra Dayastataha. Devarishi Pitributani. Daita Devan Vasvayam. Dejum Deshnani. Mamishendu Dayastata. Devashi Pitributani. Prati jagmu svadishnani. Rameshendra dayastata. Devarshi pitributani. Daita devanugasvayam. Pati dagmu svadishnani. Brahmeshendra dayastata. Deva, demigods, Rishi, great saintly persons, Pitra, the inhabitants of Pitraloka, Bhutani, and the other living entities, Daitaha, demons, Deva Anugaha, the inhabitants of other planets following the principles of the demigods. Svayam, independently, without asking permission from Indra. Prati Jagmuhu, returned. Svadishnani, to their respective planets and homes. Brahma, Lord Brahma. Isha, Lord Shiva. Indradayaha, and the demigods headed by Indra. Tata, thereafter. Translation and purport. Translation, thereafter the demigods, the great saintly persons, the inhabitants of Pitraloka and Bhutaloka, the demons, the followers of the demigods, and also Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and the demigods, subordinate to Indra, all returned to their respective homes. While departing, however, no one spoke to Indra. Purport. In this connection, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, Rameshendradaya iti Indrasya svadish nagamanam nopapadyate vitravadakshanana Eva Brahma Hatyo Padrava Praptahe Tasmatata Ityanena Manasa Saravarad Agatya Pravartidhad Ashvamedhat Parata Iti Vyakyayam. Got it. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and the other demigods returned to their respective abodes, but Indra did not, for he was disturbed at having killed Vritrasura, who was actually a Brahmana. After killing Vritrasura, Indra went to the Manasa Sarovara lake to become free from sinful reactions. When he left the lake, he performed an Ashvamedha yajna and then returned to his abode, his own abode. Okay, so we're reading here how Indra's a little disturbed from having killed Vritrasura. I would imagine if you've just killed somebody, you might also be a little disturbed, especially if that somebody was a devotee, like a great devotee of the Lord, like Vritrasura, Brahmana. So Indra's a little unhappy and disturbed right now. This isn't the first time he's done something like this. He has many incidences of committing offenses to devotees to the Lord. So this one's actually not such a great offense compared to the other things that he's done. Thinking since we have Govardhan Puja coming up, I was thinking Indra's very, very involved in the Govardhan Puja Leela, and since Govardhan Puja is coming up next week, I thought it'd be fun to do a little comparison of his offenses here with Ritrasura and his offenses to Krishna and the Rajavasis in the Govardhan Puja Leela. So in the Govardhan Puja Leela, Indra, he wanted to destroy Vrindavan and to kill all the inhabitants, kill all the Rajavasis, who were the most dear to Krishna. Ritrasura, although he was also dear to Krishna, he was not as dear as the Rajavasis. Ritrasura was an associate of Lord Sankarshan, and the Rajavasis were Krishna's very dear devotees. So just the level of the offense perhaps isn't as great. In this particular pastime. And also, there's only one brahmana here, one devotee here whom Indra killed. But in the Govardhan Puja Leela, he tried to kill all of the Vrajavasis, all the living entities in Vraj, which, just imagine, like, how serious of an offense that is. With this pastime, he had permission, in one sense, to kill Ritrasura. The demigods and the sages, they all agreed, you know, the demons, he's creating disturbance for us, could you please kill him? So he was almost just acting on the request of, like, almost senior devotees. So he in this pastime, he wasn't acting independently on his own whim or whatever. But in the Govardhan Puja Leela, the demigods thought that him trying to destroy Vrindavan and the Rajavasis was a bad idea. And Indra was just acting by himself in that particular pastime. So that another reason why that offense is perhaps more severe. So kind of as a result of this, killing Ritrasura, Indra's feeling a little unhappy, a little disturbed, but when you think about how he felt after he realized what he had done by trying to destroy Vrindavan and kill all the Rajavasis, he felt like probably as low as you can feel. It's interesting how low he felt after that, after he realized what he did. And with this pastime, he was able to kind of atone for his sins, as we read in the summary and in the purport here. He's kind of able to atone for his sins by bathing in the Manasa Sarovara Lake, and also by performing an Ashvamedha Yajna. So he's able to do something which isn't so difficult, perhaps, to attain for this sin. It wasn't like a huge ordeal to become free from these sinful reactions. Whereas to get free from the sinful reactions by trying to destroy Vrindavan and kill the Rajavasis, he really had to humble himself and beg for forgiveness and become, he had to kind of go through a lot to get the forgiveness of Krishna. It wasn't so easy. He had to directly approach Krishna and just fall at his feet and, you know, do all kinds of things. Of course, you know, every day, I guess, during the Tulsi Puja, we circumambulate Tulsi and say Yani Kani Chapapani Brahma Hatya, which is sin of killing Brahma, Brahmana. Brahma Hatya Kani Cha Yani Tani Tani Pranashanti Pradachina Prade Pade. So at every step that one walks around Tulsi Maharani, he can destroy all of his sins, including the sin of killing Brahma. So just one step that we take walking around Tulsi in the morning, that's enough to relieve one of a sin like like Indra's sin of killing a Brahmana. I don't know if it talks about the sin of trying to destroy Vrindavan and all the Vrajavasis. I don't know if that would apply in Indra's case, but so I think we're all more or less familiar with the Govardhan Puja Leela. Indra, Krishna stopped the sacrifice that was meant to please Indra, and Indra got angry, so he sent the, as a reaction for Krishna stopping the sacrifice, he wanted to destroy Vrindavan and all the Vrajavasis, kind of a serious, you know, response to Krishna's stopping of the sacrifice. So he sent the Samvartika clouds, and they did their best to try to destroy Vrindavan. The Samvartika clouds are like the clouds of the devastation that kind of inundate the whole world. So they're very powerful clouds. But they came back to Indra after some time and said, "We're not doing anything. We're not able to destroy Vrindavan or kill any creatures in Vrindavan." Sorry. So Indra, he got angry. So then he came himself personally, and he started throwing lightning bolts or, you know, thunderbolts at Govardhan Hill, and he kept throwing them over and over again. And it's described that no matter how many thunderbolts he threw, not even one leaf fell from a tree that was on Govardhan Hill. Not even an ant was disturbed, or any of the creatures on Govardhan Hill. It just did nothing to them. So even after all of this, Indra still didn't get it that, okay, this isn't working. So he decided to kind of like bust out his ultimate weapon, which was this lightning bolt, that the same lightning bolt that he used to chop off the head of Vritrasura, that took 360 days to chop off the head of Vritrasura. He used that same lightning bolt, and like he was about ready to use it on Govardhan Hill. This is like his ultimate weapon. He doesn't have any better weapons than this. And Krishna, you know, kind of having enough of this, because this is going on for like 7 days, 7 nights and 7 days. Krishna's like, all right, time to wrap this up. Enough is enough. And he decided just by his own will that he'll kind of paralyze Indra's arm. So right as he was about ready to throw the lightning bolt, his arm got paralyzed just by Krishna's will. And Krishna's will, he also stopped the clouds from moving, the wind from blowing, and all the demigods that were in charge of the clouds that were causing so much devastation, they all kind of froze there in the sky, kind of like marionettes, little puppets on strings. And so even after all of this, Indra still didn't get it. Like, he didn't know why he wasn't able to throw the lightning bolt, but he still was angry, and he still had that desire to destroy Vrindavan, destroy the residents of Vrindavan. So Krishna, in order to kind of help Indra along to understand what's going on here, he forced Indra into a trance. He forced him into, he kind of gave him vision, like a vision of him, of Krishna, of the dark cloud form of Krishna sitting on a lotus flower, decorated in jewel, like all these valuable jewels, and playing his flute, and he also removed all the passion from Indra so that he could actually be able to perceive Krishna. So he basically had to force him to say, "Here, what are you doing here? The same person that anointed you to the position of heaven, of king of heaven, that same personality, Lord Narayan, that's this personality that you're trying to kill right now." So only after Krishna did all that did Indra realize, oh wow, it's the same person, like I shouldn't be doing this. And then at this time, when he was kind of like in this trance-like state, he remembered a prayer that was given to him by his spiritual master, Brihaspati. It was a very nice prayer. It was all about glorifying Krishna's pastimes with the Vrajavasis, specifically the pastimes with Srimati Radharani. You know, Indra was saying this prayer about how Krishna combs Srimati Radharani's hair and they stroll in the forests, and Krishna makes garlands and decorates Srimati Radharani and whatever, you know, on and on and on, like all these pastimes about Krishna and the Vrajavasis. So Indra had already received this prayer a long time ago from his spiritual master, but I guess it didn't like register in his mind that that same personality who's addressed in this prayer is whom I'm trying to kill. I guess he just became overwhelmed with anger that he didn't connect the two until after Krishna forced him into this trance. So eventually Krishna kind of withdrew that vision from Indra, and Indra kind of came to his external senses. And when he came to his external senses, he really felt bad. It's described that he completely felt totally remorseful. He's totally deflated of pride. It's said that he felt the weight of 100 sorrows, and his mind was just totally disturbed. So he felt really bad, and he didn't have it in him at that time to really like do what it takes to make amends for this great offense that he committed. So he thought that he would just go back to his home in the heavenly planets, go back to the King of Heaven, Kingdom of Heaven, and just try to kind of sleep it off. Maybe I can kind of forget about everything that happened by just going back and getting a good night's rest, and then maybe everything will be okay. This was Indra's thinking at that time. Even after having the vision of Krishna, he was thinking, I got to go somewhere. I got to be alone. So here's Indra. Imagine what that's like. I don't know. Have you ever tried, have you ever had sleepless nights where your mind is just going and thinking? Your mind is totally disturbed, and you're like thinking about this. I'm thinking. Where you weren't able to sleep the whole night because your mind was going and going and going. Has this happened to you? Yeah? Multiple times? Yeah? So, yeah, I've had this happen also. It's interesting how that works. If your mind is going and going, you just cannot sleep. So Indra was in this kind of state where he's totally disturbed. Mind was raging. So he was just lying on his, like, very opulent regal bed, looking up at the canopy of his bed, and he was thinking, gosh, I tried to cause suffering to Vrindavan, but all it did was cause, all that happened was that I'm suffering. I tried to drown the Nanda's cows, but now I'm just drowning in my own sorrows. I tried throwing lightning bolts at Govardhan Hill, but I should have just thrown lightning bolts at my own head. You know, so he very much realized his that if you try to cause trouble to Krishna's devotees, the only result is that you get troubles. That's he kind of realized that law, that transcendental law. So this when Indra was trying to destroy Vrindavan, he sent the Samvartika clouds, and they were trying to, and this onslaught was going on for 7 days and seven nights. And when this was going on, Indra felt that these 7 days, he felt it to be like a whole millennium. He felt it was like a very long time. And the people of the world, they felt this 7-day inundation to be just like 7 days of like bitter suffering because of all the devastation that was going on. The Vrajavasis, they felt these 7 days to be like 7 joy-filled hours. You know, they're having a great time under the hill, enjoying with Krishna. And then Govardhan himself, he felt these 7 days to be just like 7 moments of bliss. You know, he was happy. So here's Indra. He's in this state, really low. Like, he's feeling really bad at this point. He's very, very remorseful. Mind is totally disturbed. And he can't talk to anybody. He just wants to be alone. He can't go see his wife, although he's there in his kingdom of heaven. He can't see his wife. He can't approach the assembly of the demigods. he's just kind of in his own he's very mental and he's in his own world, and he's contemplating suicide at this point. He really starts thinking, yeah, maybe I should just take my own life, because this feeling is very bad. So all his spiritual master, all-knowing Brihaspati, kind of knowing what's going on, he comes and kind of saves the day. He tells Indra, why are you thinking like this? This isn't good. You already made Krishna your enemy by trying to kill Vrindavan and all the Vrajavasis. Now you're going to try to make him, you're going to make him more inimical to you because you're trying to attack your own body. This isn't good for you or anybody. So you got to snap out of this. So after hearing this, Indra just kind of started crying. Indra has 1,000 eyes. I don't know if you knew this. There's one painting with Indra having 1,000 eyes all over his body. He has 1,000 eyes, so he started crying. So that must have been an interesting sight. And then he just asked Brihaspati, what should I do? I'm the lowest I've ever been. Like, I don't know what to do at this point. So then Brihaspati said, go see Lord Brahma. He can help you. So then Indra went to go see Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma, when he started talking to Indra, he didn't help at first. Lord Brahma kind of made things a little worse. He just started chastising Indra. Like Indra, kind of humbly just said, "Here's my situation. Here's what just happened." Brahma said, "You're so foolish. I can't believe what you did." Great luminaries, when they hear about your sins, they'll cover their ears, they'll mock you, and they'll give up your company. I won't be able to free you from the poison of the sinful reactions that you're about to receive. So imagine now how Indra's feeling, how low he was already. Yeah. And then you get this advice from Brahma that I can't do anything for you. It's, you're totally foolish. So Indra was just totally devastated at this point. And then Brahma, seeing how devastated he was, like, and how bad he's feeling, he said, okay, all right, here's what you can do. Go feed, circumambulate, and try to please the cows. Cows are very dear to Krishna. So go worship the cows, and specifically go to Surabhi. Surabhi is like the mother of all the cows. She's a demigoddess, she's the mother of all the cows. Specifically go to Surabhi and ask her if she will help you to get Krishna's grace. So Indra's kind of being sent all over the place to see if he can do something to rectify his deeds. So Indra went to go ask Surabhi, hey, can you help me? And then Surabhi said, because Brahma asked, Surabhi agreed, yeah, sure, I can help you. So Surabhi and Indra, they come down from heaven, they go to Govardhan Hill, and they're looking for Krishna. So they're kind of flying above Govardhan Hill, and they're looking for Krishna. And because of Indra's offenses, he wasn't able to see Krishna. I guess because Krishna didn't allow Indra to see him because of the offenses. But since Surabhi was there, she could see. She had more purified vision. So she told Indra, you see that kind of cloud, dark clouds over there on Govardhan Hill? Yeah, that's Krishna. And you see that lightning flash in that among that cloud, hazy, that cloud thing? That's Krishna's yellow garments. And you hear that thunder going on? That's Krishna's flute. So anyway, like this, Surabhi kind of pointed out, kind of helped Indra to see Krishna, although he couldn't see it otherwise because of his offenses. So then, okay, Indra said, oh, there's Krishna. So then he started to approach Krishna on his elephant. But Surabhi stopped him and said, no, you can't approach Krishna like this. You can't go with the elephant and all this, whatever regal attire that you have or something. So she said, you should go alone and you should just fall at his feet and with very pure and sweet words, try to convince him to forgive you. Anyone who genuinely feels remorse, genuine remorse and kind of invokes the mercy of even normal people. Like if somebody feels really remorseful, it invokes the mercy of just anybody. What to speak of such an illustrious person as Krishna. So if you do have genuine remorse, Krishna will forgive you. So go alone and fall at his feet and try to convince him to forgive you. So Indra, he kind of froze. He's afraid to go approach Krishna by himself because of all the offenses that he just committed. He was so afraid, like, wow, this is the person I was trying to kill, and now I'm begging for, falling at his feet. It's kind of a hard thing to do. So Indra asked Surabhi, can you go, come with me? I don't want to go alone. Can you come with me? And can you kind of, start off the conversation for me? Because, yeah, can you get can you do a little icebreaker for us? Because I'm gonna have a hard time starting this conversation by myself. So Surabhi agreed. She said, "Krishna, hear him out. Indra's come to ask you something." So then Indra started, started to apologize. Or no, actually, he just fell at his feet. He didn't even start to apologize. He just kind of fell flat in front of Krishna and just lied there for a long time and just didn't say anything. Just and then Krishna, after some time, kind of touched his crown and said, "Stand up, stand up." And Krishna, he actually started the conversation. Krishna, he said, "What? You don't have to bow before me. I'm the one who's at fault. I'm the one who tried to stop your. I'm the one who stopped your the sacrifice that was meant for you. So actually, I'm at fault here." And then Indra was like, "What?" Indra didn't respond right away because it kind of baffled him. He wasn't sure. I mean, it was. Yeah, it was a curveball. He wasn't expecting that response from Krishna, that it's his fault. Obviously, it wasn't. Krishna had an intention by asking, saying things like this. So Indra then said, I'm already totally bewildered, Krishna. You don't have to, play these games with me. I mean, you don't have to, pose as a conditioned soul or anything. I mean, you can't make any faults. I'm the one that's at fault. I'm just requesting your forgiveness." And Indra, his apology at first wasn't perhaps so good, or it wasn't good enough for Krishna. He tried to generalize what he did. He said, "I've acted, improperly or whatever," and he said, "Punishment won't purify me properly." He was actually afraid that Krishna was going to send him to Yamaraj and to get punished by Yamaraj. So he tried to, when he was saying his apology, he tried to say it in such a way that he wouldn't be sent to Yamaraj for punishment. So he said, "Punishment won't be enough to purify me. So I'm requesting you to please purify me in such a way that this nasty pride that I have can be uprooted and then be gone forever." And then he said, "Please accept me as your, as please count me as one of your servants, and I would like to engage in your service like that." So it was an attempt at an apology, but Krishna wanted more. He wasn't totally satisfied with that answer. So Krishna says, "Oh, from your prayers, I can see that you're a devotee. So the Samvartaka clouds, they must have acted independently. I think you should punish them accordingly." Because Krishna wanted Indra to be more specific in his apology. Because he was just not saying what he wasn't expressing what he really did to that he did wrong. So Krishna wanted Indra to say what he did wrong specifically. So he questioned him in such a way that, kind of saying, saying, "Oh, the Samvartaka clouds must have acted independently. You're still not to blame." Then Indra had to say, "No, I ordered them to destroy Vrindavan." And then Krishna kind of raised his eyebrows in astonishment. "But Indra, how could my devotee attack Vrindavan and all the residents? That doesn't make sense." And then Indra murmured, "Yeah, I was kind of mad that you stopped my worship, and sorry." So then Indra said, or Krishna said, "But I'm your master. That sacrifice is ultimately meant for me anyway. You're just the medium. So why I have every right to stop this sacrifice. So I don't understand what's going on here. So then Indra said, well, when I got angry, you know, I was kind of overcome by false pride in my position and this, I don't know, my, you know, when you're overcome by false pride, you can do anything, you know, you just kind of become overwhelmed. And then Krishna said, but my devotees went, you know, okay, pride might come in my devotees from time to time, but they use their intelligence to overcome that false pride. They use their intelligence to not be overcome like this. Indra was like, yeah, you're right. So I should have used my intelligence to overcome my false pride. You're right. But I just was so angry, you know, and when you get angry, that kind of covers over your intelligence, you know, you kind of lose your intelligence when you get really angry. So Indra acknowledged, wow, you're okay. You've pinpointed my disease just like an expert physician. So, you know, please, help me to overcome this or something. So then Krishna said, okay, all right. So you can go back to your position as king of heaven or whatever. That's fine. But just don't get overcome by this false pride anymore. So this is kind of this pastime. Of course, Indra does end up getting kind of overcome by false pride in future pastimes. But, you know, I think I'll just talk about this pastime right now. But yeah, and so I guess what we can learn from this is, one, if you've done something stupid and you're remorseful of it and you want to ask for forgiveness, one, it's good to approach senior devotees, like Indra did. You know, the spiritual master approached him to help him, but he approached Brahma and Surabhi, and he got help from other devotees. That's a good lesson. Another lesson is that if you're apologizing, it's good to be very specific in what you're apologizing for. I think it makes the apology more genuine and sincere. The more specific you are, the more likely it is that they might forgive you, because you're just being open and honest and straightforward. And, you know, just, you know, don't be overcome by false pride. Use your intelligence. So I guess I'll stop here. Is there any questions? Yeah, Baladev.
Hello.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for a nice class. So you were mentioning that all the lessons Indra should have learned, or basically he sought the mercy of different devotees and, like you said, be specific about what he did. But also you were mentioning that there was kind of some motive for Indra apologizing at first. Mm-hmm. He would rather get punished by Krishna than Yamaraj. So in that sense, so in regards to, you know, our relationships with other devotees, sometimes, like, what would your answer be? Sometimes when we committed offense and we may, you know, seek forgiveness, but it may be, you know, from our perspective, I'm not everyone knows their own heart, but from our perspective, suppose we're, you know, not sincere, we're doing it okay as a matter of formality and stuff. Is it best? And you may think that other devotees who you're asking for forgiveness, they may also think that, you know, I'm just doing it because, you know, I want you to forgive me so I'll be relieved of my reactions. So is it best to, you know, kind of be sincere, you know, when nobody can see you, like you're sincerely crying, you know, I'm really, you know, remorseful for my sins? Or is it best to, you know, do it in front of, you know, others? Like, because Krishna sees everything finally. And, you know, usually when you do it in front of others, they may think, you know, I'm just doing it, you know, as a matter of, you know, I got to do this. It's my duty. Or sometimes you may be like that. So is it best to, you know, be remorseful kind of in silence where nobody can see you and kind of really be sincere? And finally, Krishna, so what's your opinion on that? So,
I mean, you don't have to make a show. Hey, everybody, we're going to hold a meeting in Ishtagoshti next Saturday, and I'm going to apologize to Michael for you know, whatever I did to him last Tuesday. You know, and I want to make a big show of it, and I want to let everybody know that I'm genuinely sorry for what I did to him, and I just want to make it clear to everybody. Maybe we can put up posters. Jai Baladev apologizing to Michael next Tuesday or next Saturday. Okay. No, that's not how things are generally done. I mean, it is a good idea to approach the person whom, like, you offended. That's clear. There's so many pastimes of even the whole, you know, who's the Sudarshan Chakra chasing... Durvasa Muni, right? So Vishnu said, I can't help you, Durvasa Muni. You got to go approach Pali Maharaj, whom you offended, and fall at his feet and ask for his forgiveness. So if you offend somebody, you have to go, it's best to go to that person whom you've offended and ask for forgiveness, similar to the way Indra did to Krishna. That's sometimes the only way to do it, only way to get free from your offense, depending on what it is. And if that's not possible, like, I don't know, whatever, circumstances are such that you cannot physically approach that devotee and fall at his feet and personally ask him to forgive you, but you're sincere in your heart and you're really remorseful, then, you know, you just, you know, you petition to Krishna. I mean, Krishna does know your heart. And usually circumstances are possible that you can approach that devotee. So it's not, that's first advice. And then second, if you can't for whatever reason, then yeah, just petition, you know, pray to Krishna, pray to Kishore, and just, this is the situation. I'm very sorry. Please help direct me. And you can also disclose it to senior devotees too. It helps to get it out, whom you can trust and confide in, and say, hey, this is what I did. I'm feeling this way. Can you suggest anything for me to feel a little better or to overcome this offense or whatever? And they can usually help you. You have something more? Okay.
I'm trying to understand why Indra is still receiving a sinful reaction, even if Vitrasura gave him permission to kill him. Kind of seemed like...
Yeah, isn't that interesting? He got permission from all of the demigods and great sages. You know, sages. These are like spiritually advanced people here who told Indra, you should go kill him. But what they really said was that you should kill him, and then don't worry about the reaction. We'll help you with that. We'll read that. We'll perform the Ashwamedha sacrifice so that you can be freed from this reaction. He still got the reaction. Like, the reaction will come and chase him. And he'll go hide in, like, you know, this Manasa Sarovara. And have to bathe in that lake. And then this sacrifice will have to be performed for him to be relieved of his reaction. But the rishis and the sages, they kind of take up that responsibility, because they asked him to kill Vritrasura. So they said, all right, you kill Vritrasura, we'll help out, don't worry. We'll perform this Ashwamedha sacrifice to help relieve you of your sinful reaction. And that's what they did. So they didn't just... Because, I don't know, sometimes, I don't know, like, I'm thinking, sometimes you feel like if you don't want to do something, you might... ask somebody else, hey, can you do this? Like something bad. Like, for example, buy to get $300,000. So some devotees, they might encourage you, yeah, you should lie to get $300,000, you know, you should sue or whatever, and you get $300,000, you should lie. But they don't, the person who encouraged you to lie doesn't necessarily get the reaction for you actually lying, for example. You have to experience that reaction yourself, because you're the one who committed that act. So similarly, in this case with Indra and Vritrasura, Indra's the one who actually did kill Vritrasura, who was a brahmana. So he does get that reaction. But so let's say those persons who encourage you to lie, maybe they might take some pity on you and they might say, okay, well, I'll help you now. Okay, now that you've lied and whatever, you got yourself in this situation, let me help you to express your remorse to the judge or whatever for all the things that you know, tell them how you're really feeling, and they'll help you through the situation because they kind of feel like they're somewhat, they gave you that advice, so, you know, they might help you along. So that's kind of what the sages were doing with Vritrasura, is that they were kind of helping him after advising him to do something like that.
No, what I'm saying is, like, even if he, it's like he's carrying out the order of a Vaishnav, Vritrasura, and he's still receiving a sinful reaction for carrying out what Vritrasura said, which is to kill me. It's just kind of bewildering for me.
Yeah, I don't know the total, you know, the answer to this. I mean, maybe there's like a principle being taught to us in this pastime. Like, if you kill a brahmana, like, you're going to get the offense for it. Don't think that, you know, this is okay to kill a brahmana, even if he is in a demon body. I don't know the exact reason for why. It's a good question. I don't know if somebody else has a better explanation for that.
I was also going to ask the same question, actually. I was thinking that in the previous chapter, Srila Prabhupada was explaining that both of them are instruments in Krishna's hands, Vritrasura and Indra. So if Indra is doing just his duty, there shouldn't be any reactions for him, because this is Krishna's arrangement. But if he was not doing his duty with proper consciousness, with consciousness to enjoy after that the heavenly planets, probably that's why it's the sinful reaction. I'm not sure.
Krishna uses Indra a lot to teach a lot of us what we shouldn't do, right? Krishna uses Indra to teach us what we shouldn't do. So in order for us to really understand, like, the seriousness of committing offenses, killing Vaishnava, killing devotees or whatever, that that he'll actually give the reaction to Indra. But it's still like everything's orchestrated by Krishna, and Indra's still being an instrument in that case, even though he is getting the reactions. Like, this is what Krishna wanted. He wanted Indra to get these reactions to show us that, to be an example for us, that if we do something like this, we might get these reactions also. So that's one explanation. Okay. Anything else? Okay, we'll stop here. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada.
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare.